All right. Welcome tonight, January 9th, 2023, to the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee. My name is Jim Dingman, and we're just going to call the meeting to order. And I'd like our beloved secretary, Mr. Hoffman, to call the roll.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. And here's the roll call. James Dingman.
Here.
Heather Gray. Heather?
We see you, Heather.
I'm sorry, yeah. I was muted. I'm here. Sorry. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
James McFadden. James Sagerton.
Here.
Elizabeth von Guten.
Here.
Beth, you were here. And Susan Young.
Susan is, sent me a note. She's not going to be here tonight.
Okay. So everyone's here except James McFadden and Susan Young.
All right. So we have quorum. All right. Thank you. All right. Let me proceed now. Basically I'd want to move to excuse everybody who's not here tonight. That's Susan. So far, Susan.
Point of order, Chair.
Yeah. Go on.
We don't do excused absences in committees.
All right. Fine. Thank you.
Just wanted to try to eliminate that from the agenda. You're, you know, as your template, right. I think you're just repeating it. And I tell you every time we have.
All right. Well, that's the rigidity of a 60s kid. Anyway, and we don't have any minutes to approve, right, John? You didn't send any minutes out.
Incorrect. I sent minutes out either Saturday or Sunday. So you have 2 minutes, one from December 5th public session, which we can approve now, and then one later on, December 5th, executive session.
All right, very good. Can I get somebody to approve the minutes that were sent out?
Move to approve those minutes.
All right, thank you, Jim. We don't need a second, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, any objections to approving the minutes? All right, hearing none, let's proceed. Now I'm going to read the agenda out for the stream. We have several motions to consider tonight, and then we're going to go an executive session when we finish through this initial batch of motions. We received a motion from Elizabeth Van Guten. That'll be the first motion to cover. And Elizabeth, do you want to read it out to us, or do you want me to read it out?
Just a second. Let me flip to that page. Do you want me to read the whole thing now?
Yeah, why don't you read, I'll just say that we're going to have, we'll wait until we get to that in the motion, but we have a motion to establish the Pacifica Documents Archives, which we'll get to in a few minutes. We have another agenda item, short-term strategic goals, with a motion attached. We'll get to that in a few minutes. We have report of the Programming Committee by Heather Gray, 5 minutes, report of the Pacifica Strategic Planning Workshop, 3 minutes, Chris Cristobal on bonds if Chris shows up, Lyndon Foley on the NFT issue for 3 minutes if he shows up, and 11, comments on the present situation, which I know is quite volatile. Any new business will be 5 minutes, meeting dates 2 minutes, adjourn, and then we adjourn to executive session. Is there any additions or modifications that people want to make to the agenda before I continue? Are there any objections to the agenda? All right, hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Let me move to the first item of the agenda, which is a motion from Elizabeth Van Guten to establish the Pacifica Documents Archives. Elizabeth, do you want to read that out?
Sure. Whereas responsible Pacifica governance requires reliable, readily available access to all existing Pacifica business documentation, therefore be it resolved that Pacifica shall establish and maintain a comprehensive, permanent, electronic, digital, searchable Pacifica documents archive of all available past, present, and future management and governance documents and audio recordings, to receive, obtain, identify, authenticate, index, organize, compile, restore, archive, secure, maintain, and make readily available all Pacifica business documents and radio recordings using current archival best practices. Be it further resolved that the PNB Secretary shall serve as liaison between the PNB and the PDA, and shall report directly to the PNB regularly and as necessary. The PNB shall establish, populate, and maintain a standing PDA work group to include all Pacifica board and committee secretaries to provide ongoing support and others to provide ongoing support to the PDA and the PNB secretary in cooperation with Pacifica management, staff, and governance. Furthermore, all documents shall be reviewed for approval by the PNB secretary, then submitted routinely to the PNB in a consent agenda for approval, then archived and posted online without delay as they become available. Public documents and audio shall be available via a dedicated publicly accessible website. Any and all sensitive, confidential or legally privileged material shall be received and curated separately by those legally authorized to view it and secured on a separate website with access limited to those legally authorized to receive it. All Pacifica business documents and audio shall be permanently retained until and unless reviewed and approved for destruction by the PNB, consistent with pertinent Pacifica document retention and destruction policy. Hard copy of selected Pacifica documents of historic, legal, cultural, or other special significance shall be retained as backup at a minimum of 2 Pacifica archival repositories to include the Pacifica National Office and at least 1 other location geographically remote from the PNO to be determined by the PNB. I'm going to guess there will be questions.
Okay, go on. You want to motivate it?
I think this is necessary. I guess I kind of see this as one of those motherhood and apple pie motions where we already have secretaries on all the boards and committees. We're already generating current documentation. I know there are various archives of other material around the country, it's all now being managed sort of catch as catch can. Some of it happens and some of it doesn't, and this would provide the beginning of a systematic structure that we can use so that anything new that we get can go directly into this. And as we can over time, we can catch up the backlog. And I'll volunteer to sit on and help get going the work group that's mentioned here. We have a number of former secretaries who are still active with various local and national committees, and there's reason to believe that some of them have been trying to get something like this off the ground for a good long while. I recognize that we will need more resources ultimately to set up a couple of dedicated websites, but we can make do until we get that far, and this gives us a systematic way to get started. I ran this past Nancy Sorden, who is a previous former PNB chair and secretary, and in her day job, she's a very high-end technical librarian, and she offered a number of suggestions, and I've already incorporated them in the motion as you see it, and I'd be happy to take questions.
All right, Jim, go on, Jim. You have to unmute. Jim? Jim Sagerton?
Yeah, thank you. Beth, I know since you talked to Nancy, you know that there were other people working on this. May I suggest that you, if you haven't already done it, talk to Eileen Rosen, who's also worked on this. And also Stephanie has been mentioning it from time to time. So might be a good idea to catch up with her and see if she's got anything done.
I had her in mind. We've
spoken about it. Actually, my first year on the LSD 3 years ago, I was elected to the National Governance Committee, where I met Eileen, and we ended up in a work group supposed to be starting something like this then. That's really where it first caught my attention, that something like this was needed. So we've talked about this a few times. I haven't had the chance to run this particular motion past her yet, but she's one of the people I have in mind to work with for sure.
And I know that she did some research, and she might have whatever progress was made at that time, you know, available.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Thanks.
I'm hoping we can get this through this committee tonight. And if others want to offer other amendments and considerations, that can always be done once we get it to the PNB. I think it would be a crowning achievement if we could get this through the PNB before the whole board turns over again.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting any delay or amendments. I was just suggesting that as you get it underway, they may have, I know that Eileen did some research on how it's done, and, you know, they might have material for you. That's all.
Thank you.
Yeah, I fully support this.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments? Anybody else want to chime in on this? Alex, Otis, Julie, Heather, John.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not finding my hand.
Go on, Julie.
So I wanted to just check with Otis and see how much of this is Otis already doing. I recognize he requires a lot of support from the PMB to be able to have this stuff on hand, right? So, but I just wondered whether some of this was already happening. If Otis would be willing to speak to them.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure that I'm going out over the stream. I'm sorry. What?
Shall I copy you on this motion?
I have trouble understanding you, Beth. What?
I sent Otis the motion, Beth.
Okay. That's what I was.
I haven't seen it. But
well, I'll send it to you again.
With Julie, we because of the there was a system that we used to upload documents, mostly having to do with financial stuff, documents that would go along with entries into the financial system that would be associated with entries that the auditors could ask for. In other words, there is a system, and that's in there now waiting to be used to upload documents, but it's not designed to be a public system. It wouldn't fulfill the requirements, you know, that Beth and Eileen have been trying to get going for some time now as a repository. But conceivably it could. We're using this system to replace a other much more complicated system. There was a thing called DocuLink. And I guess you know about it, Julie. So this replaces that, and this is, it mainly is for connecting documents or making documents available, principally for the audit. But it is a document storage system. You got to be able to log. You got to log in and stuff to be able to see it. So, I don't know. We could talk about extending it or having something else like that. The thing about it is, it is not a cataloging system that would be, you know, catalog documents into different areas. That's more complex. It's doable, but it's a bigger deal. And that was the reason that I was kind of holding off on saying, well, I could do it for the system that you and Eileen have been talking about, because you're talking about a much more elegant setup.
Got it. I appreciate the response, Otis. Thanks.
All right. Any other comments? Anybody else have an opinion about this? All right, let me chime in. It's a great idea, long overdue, absolutely necessary, because we can never figure out, you know, the whole scope of motions and resolutions passed over the past 20 years. Very hard to understand that. So it's a useful database to get set up. Anybody else have anything to say about this? All right.
I have another thing. I would say KPFTX was designed to accept documents like that. You know, particularly minutes, and there is a way to put in resolutions. I mean, there's actually a whole system in KPFTX that nobody ever uses for voting and so forth. So if they're associated with committees and stuff like that, if that's the kind of thing we're talking about, that's there. Or that could be there. But I think they were talking about a more extensive system.
This is Beth, if I might respond to that.
Go on, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, Otis, it would be my intent for this to be supportive of what you do, and it would be my full intent to get in sync with what you've already got set up and look toward, you know, evolving the system over time into something more elegant and probably extensive. And this is not intended as a challenge to anybody. So I will look forward to working with you and Eileen and all the secretaries and all to do what it takes, and would be wide open to suggestion and advice along the way.
Yeah. I'm not feeling, you know, that this is a challenge or anything like that. I'm not feeling that at all.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's good.
And I would, because I'm basically paranoid.
All right.
Well, on that count, I'm in your corner.
All right. Anybody else want to chime in on this at all before we move on to the next item? Or is there any opposition to this? Anybody oppose this motion? All right. Hearing none, it's adopted. Thank you. All right. Let's move to the next item.
Jim, before you go on.
Yeah.
Beth, was there language in there about the Strategic Planning Committee recommends that the PMB, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Good catch. I'll put that in there, and I'll modify the current motion with that wording and send it back through the committee.
Good.
Thank you.
Jim, this is for presentation to the PMB.
Right. Very good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. All right, let me move to the next item, which was short-term strategic goals. And what I put in there is I sent out a resolution. I'll read it for the stream. Short-term strategic goals, first quarter of 2023. Whereas the Pacifica National Board has passed a motion authorizing underwriting to develop by all the units throughout Pacifica, and the necessity of adding badly needed revenue is imperative, be resolved that the PNB will aim to have all units do their best in the next 3 months to develop and expand the number of underwriting measures to bring in added revenue, and whereas the Pacifica National Board has authorized the process for applying for CPB funding to be accomplished this year, be it resolved that the PNB authorizes all units and measures necessary to be implemented system-wide to organize and be able to apply on time this year for CSG grants from the CPB. Do I have a second for that?
James.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, this is restating arguments that we've already resolved at the national level. That is, in terms of the underwriting, and also the issue of applying for the CPB this year. And I wanted to see if anybody wanted to add, because I'm talking about something we already have agreed upon at the national level to do. And this is just putting a little extra oomph into it, but and it's taking advantage of, you know, already existing motions that have been passed. I don't think the underwriting motion has been exploited dramatically at this point. The only example of that is what occurred in New York so far with the PSAs being developed with the New York City Department of the New York City government and the New York State government. But again, we're at the infancy level of starting this. And secondly, the issue of the CPB funding. The CPB funding was something we also agreed upon doing. So that's why I reiterate that. But I'm wondering if there's anything else anyone wants to throw in that or what comments they have about this. Thank you.
Jim, this is Heather.
Yes, Heather.
I know, as I've said repeatedly, and Alex, I appreciate your comments about this as well, but one of the things I think that is so important about underwriting is that Pacifica is finally realizing, although this was not something that was necessarily considered, I think this is a way to hopefully raise some more money, which is absolutely the case, which I'm sure will be the case with underwriting. But it's an acknowledgement that small businesses within our communities are a part of our community altogether, right? And so community radio is acknowledging that and inviting these small businesses to be a part of the entity of Pacifica Radio and the affiliate stations as well. So at any rate, I just wanted to mention that, Jim. We don't have to include that in the motion. It's just that I think it's an important acknowledgement, actually. And just so you all know, most of my work has been in cooperative economic development, and that is generally small businesses in major cities, but also rural areas across the South primarily. So that's how I began to learn more about the importance of small businesses in our communities. So I just wanted to mention that, Jim. I mean, we don't have to include it. I just need to reiterate it, I guess, is what I'm doing. And I'm appreciative of the underwriting motion is what I'm saying as well.
All right. Thank you, Heather. Any other comments?
Yeah, Jim, I know Heather is saying we don't have to include that, but I think that might be a good whereas. You know, whereas community radio is part of the community and the underwriting is aimed at those parts of our community that might be able to help, something along those lines.
Work with us, right? Work with us.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there for conversation.
Thank you.
All right. So, okay. So be it resolved, blah, 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 blah. And should I put it as a whereas? And
yeah, it could be a whereas prior to the resolve clause.
And whereas, state it again, Jim.
I'll let Heather do it. She's
the one. Right on, Heather.
Well, small businesses are a part of our community, and we are reaching out to this, I don't know how to say this exactly, Jim.
You said it great just a minute ago. Just do it again.
Try to remember what I said. It was too long, probably.
All right. Whereas small businesses are part of our community, and
that's what we are, community radio. We want to work together, you know, with them, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah, everybody can critique it at another time. That's what we are, community radio, and we have to work together?
Yes.
And we have to work.
And we are providing the opportunity for us to work together with other aspects of our community. Something like that.
Providing the basis for expanded community support.
Yes, okay.
Okay. All right, so let me read it as it is modified. But before I do that, does anybody else have any modifications or anything else they'd want to add to this? Anybody? All right, let me just read it out where it says now. So whereas the Pacific National Board has passed a motion authorizing underwriting to be developed by the all the units throughout Pacifica and the necessity of adding badly needed revenues imperative. And whereas small businesses are part of our community, and that is what we are, community radio, and we have to work together, and we are providing the basis for expanded community support, be it resolved that the PNB will aim to have all their units do their best in the next 3 months to develop and expand the underwriting, the number of underwriting measures to bring in added revenue. And then I go into the other thing with the CPB. Alex, do you have any comments about that since this was your baby?
He's muted.
Oh, he's muted. Okay. Well, okay. So does anybody have any additional comments?
What was the question?
The question, Heather raised the question of including in this short-term strategic goal, in other words, trying to make sure we get the implementation of the underwriting motion, shout out to small businesses, that small businesses are part of our community, and that is what we are, community radio, and we have to work together, and we are providing the basis for expanded community.
Well, is this a suggested amendment to the motion or what?
Yeah, correct.
I don't know. I think the motion, all that language is kind of in there one way or the other on it. And it's probably, as some people have indicated, too long as it is. Maybe we should try to pare down the motion itself, at least the resolved clauses, and put all that kind of information into the appendix.
Oh, no, what we're talking about is the short-term strategic goal thing for the next 3 months. I sent that out to you. This is just three or four paragraphs. It's not that big, long motion.
Short-term. Well, I'm going to discuss strategic goals in the closed session. I thought that's okay. What we would.
All right. Well, I just want to add that. Anyway, you don't have any objections to including this because this is basically a different kind of statement that we're going to actually implement the underwriting motion, and we're just adding on that small businesses should be included. You have no objections to that or no comments about that, right?
No, I don't have any particular objections.
All right. Does anybody else have any comments they want to add or anything like that before we move on? All right. Seeing no objections, any objections to this? All right, hearing none, the short-term strategic goal option is adopted here. Let me move on to the next item in the agenda, which is a report of the programming committee. Heather, what have you guys been up to?
Well, I must apologize. We've not been having a meeting lately, but one of the things that we brought up that we also presented to the board was about critical race theory, about having programs about issues that the government and other entities don't want us to be talking about, like critical race theory and the 1619 project and so forth. So I think, as I've mentioned, and I've sent information to the board about this, the affiliates right now are working on the 1619 project and working with the New York Times on this. And so what I'd like to do, Jim, this is developing, and I've also been talking with Gerald Horn. Ursula had asked me to get in touch with him and about doing interviews with some folks who have been involved in the 1619 project. And so we're working on this. It will be spreading around to various stations, affiliate stations, but I'm thinking hopefully also the Pacifica stations. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I don't have the specifics right now that I'd like to present because it's still an ongoing process, but I'm hoping that soon I'll be able to provide more information to everybody about it. And then as far as what we decided to do as far as political prisoners are concerned, there's been some of that going on, but also not enough of that yet. And so that's another thing that I'm going to be working on, but hopefully we'll be having another program committee meeting soon. That's all I can say right now. So thank you.
Any comments to Heather? Anybody have any questions to Heather? All right, hearing none, I'm going to move on. I'm just going to give a brief report of the workshop. We've been having meetings with including listener members. Basically, we had a meeting actually last week, and I'm going to read off quickly some of the ideas that occurred, which again we're pretty familiar with because a lot of this is being repeated again and again in terms of ideas that come from the listener members when we get together with them. First of all, they did agree. We had no real argument. I put forth those propositions that have to do with the question of, you know, exploiting the underwriting motion, which many of them were not familiar with, and also the issue of raising money through the CPB. So there's no real disagreement about that. Let me just share some of the ideas they had here. There was agreement to keep focusing on reducing the outstanding payables and reducing debt as creatively as possible. There was support. Now we get into programming issues. One argument someone made was we should broadcast the February 19th demonstration in Washington dealing with the war in Ukraine. That should be a live broadcast. And another person was arguing, and this I've heard many times, that there's a need for debate in the programming and the stations. There should be clashes and differing views. Someone compared this to the debate, the famous debate between Gore Vidal and James Buckley many years ago on public television. And the need to make sure we don't fall behind on the audits and the AFR process. Someone brought that up because, as we know, that prevents us from even applying for grants and the CPB. And one person felt that there was a lack of a positive vision and a stress on negativity all the time. The tonality is grievance radio. I should add that this came up earlier today on the fundraising committee at BAI, where David Rothenberg raised a very good point. He says people don't donate to people who are whining about, you know, we don't have this, we don't have that. They donate to people stressing the positivity of the radio station. And so he was, you know, and I listened to David because David goes back to the late 60s when he started to do radio in New York. Roe v. Wade. Again, that's not been exploited to the hilt as it should be by Pacifica. Science talk shows. Someone came up with a creative name, the Science Bullshit Hour. I thought that'd be actually an interesting, catchy title. I thought that'd be good. There were raised about financial questions concerning January report. And then someone came up with a need for show calling it the Corporate War on Humans. The practices of corporations and their war on humanity. Someone brought up Vijay Prasad, who operates down in Brazil, as a person who would be involved in this process. And essentially that, you know, Monsanto, corporations act like machines, et cetera. Then someone brought up the question of healthcare issues. Again, that's a no-brainer. And not talking about alternate healthcare issues that are dealt with by some shows. We're talking about, you know, issues of national healthcare in the real scientific world, that should be taken advantage of all the time. And then the question of global warming, you know, some people thought we weren't doing enough on that. And then the issue of the audits was raised. One of the things is that when we apply for the CPB, we're probably going to have to get a year's worth of Nielsen ratings on all the stations, which is a added expense because we have to sort of show what's been done. So anyway, I just want to report that quickly. And does anybody have any comments or anything like that from what I just said? If not, we're going to move on. Okay. Hearing no comments, I'm going to move on to the next item, which for some reason, all these PowerPoints coming up, I lost. Oh yeah, here we go. Now Chris Cristobal's not here. I was gonna ask him to talk about the bond issue. I guess there's no movement on that. The NFT issue by Lyndon Foley, he's not here. And finally, before we start to close out the open session, well, comments on the present situation. I want to ask people what they felt should be the goals and drive of the foundation the next couple of months, because right now, of course, we're confronted with a situation where we're not being able to pay attention to these kind of issues, that is, trying to move the foundation positively forward. And instead, we're being, you know, spending most of our time as if we're in high school in the principal's office. And I wanted to see what people felt about what the direction should be, how should we concentrate on issues going forward, what do they think should happen in the next 3 months. Any comments? Oh boy, I figured there'd be opinion on that issue. Yeah, go on, Julie.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's exactly correct. You know, there's, you know, people sometimes refer to leftist and progressive organizations as, you know, forming a circular firing squad, right? You know, which is to say that we do a lot more to inflict harm on ourselves than our opponents do. And that we, you know, and I think we have a lot more in common than we do things to fight about. And yet, you know, that doesn't seem to be, you know, what drives the agenda for LSBs and the PNB, right? And so I don't really know exactly how we change that, but it's got to change because, you know, in some sense, you know, what it does is the following. Sure, we can deal with, you know, these kind of side issues that really aren't pushing the foundation forward. But every time we do that, it takes time away from other things. And so what it does is it means that we have to increase the level or the frequency of our meetings. And when we do that, you know, then you start to, you know, drive people who might be willing to help the foundation, if only, you know, it wasn't like having a second job, you drive those folks away, right? So anyway, that's pontificating. It's not helping solve the problem, but there you go. Thanks.
All right. Any other comments on this? I would think that everybody has an opinion about this issue.
Tim, I was distracted for a moment. Could you reframe the issue?
Well, the question is, you know, Julie just said, you know, like, you know, I was saying, like, you know, these, we're having to deal with, we're not being able to focus in on how to turn these stations around. That, to me, is the main, to me, that's my personal vision of what should be done. We should be trying to figure out how positively to turn everything around. Instead, we're spending more and more time dealing with one interpretation of what should happen, another interpretation of what should happen, and it's becoming like, you know, as I mentioned, you know, going to principal's office for disciplinary reasons. That's certainly not what I signed up for when I got involved in the PNB. So the question is, what direction should we take in the next 3 months?
Sorry, I'm not clear on the problem that you're outlining. Is it too much governance? The fact that when we decided to democratize Pacifica, we turned it into a political organization, and
no,
our attention is on politics.
No, I accept it that that goes with the turf. If you actually advertise yourself as quote having a democratic institution, you know, this kind of friction goes with the turf. But the question is, where does the friction, you know, we have friction in one area of the country, in Northern California, where we got a management letter that one can interpret all sorts of ways, but sort of, again, requires us to spend time handling this. We've got the situation of a rebellion of an LSB in Los Angeles, which, again, we should be figuring out how to turn that station around rather than figuring out ways to punish people or engage in that, and et cetera. So what do you think, what should we do to cut through all this in the next 3 months to get beyond it?
I think you're looking for pie in the sky. This is the situation we find ourselves in. I don't see anything happening in 3 months that's going to alter it dramatically.
All right. Go on, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Yeah. What characterizes the circumstances that we find ourselves in where we have no reserves, we're living, you know, hand to mouth, there's nothing left to fall back on, is that it radically limits your options. You know, you just don't have a lot of options. And so to me, it seems like what there is left for us to do is just to try to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And it gives us a very short horizon. So it means that new problems, when they creep up or when they pop up, are likely to catch us off guard and throw us for a loop because we don't have reserves, because we don't have options. And so I don't think we have a lot of choices to make. We should be poised and ready and remain as agile as possible to respond to what happens. But in the short term, that's what characterizes poverty, is that you don't have options. All that's left for you to do is the one thing most immediately in front of you, and just cope and cope and cope, which is all the more reason to look for ways to get beyond this predicament. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Heather, go on, Heather.
Yeah, I'm going to be brief. I've already mentioned this to some folks, and it's something that I've been wanting to do, but just have not been able to do this as yet. And I've also talked with Stephanie. I think I mentioned it to Julie, probably everybody on this committee as well. But I think that one of the reasons why community radio is struggling right now is that there's so many other platforms right now where people get information. But I think that one of the things that needs to be done is to educate the public about the importance of the role that we play in the support of the community and information about what's happening in our communities altogether. And so one of the things I was recommending is that we develop a national committee of sorts of writers, actually, who will write articles or do whatever we can to get information onto a vast range of platforms about the history of and the importance of the role that community radio plays in the United States, in all countries, on the African continent and so forth. So, Jen, that's all I wanted to say. It's just a matter of just doing it. And I've not been able to do it as yet. But that's one of the things I would like to do, and I'm going to start working on it one way or the other. And I would appreciate people's comments and or support of something like this. Stephanie's interested in it. Almost everybody I've talked with thinks it's a good idea. It's just a matter of doing it. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. And I'd appreciate other folks' ideas about this as well. As we don't have to do it now, but as we're moving along, I'd appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, the issue of, I think just the issue of precarity is what drives everybody nuts, because, you know, this lack of resources, the pressure it places on the foundation as a whole, the pressure it places on people locally. People are frustrated because they're not able to make financial goals, and a lot of internal squabbling and animosity gets turned inward. And then I believe becomes quite self-destructive, because people are trying understandably to survive and not, be sold or swabbed or have their building sold. I mean, who doesn't understand that? Everybody understands that. But then we have the wider problem, of, you know, the lack of resources, which again drives everybody nuts. Go on, Julie.
I mean, I was just going to add that, I think we should not, or we should acknowledge that the fact that the staff at our stations, at least at four of the five stations, is dramatically reduced over what it has been in the past. And so you find fewer people, but you're still keeping a radio station on the air 24/7, and so there just has to be more responsibility that's falling to those fewer people. I mean, yeah, we're leveraging volunteers, but it's got to have profound effects on these folks' health, like to operate in such a stressful environment all the time. And so I think we need to be mindful of that too. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, people, you know, whatever one thinks about the numbers, you know, the metrics and all that of like low ratings at all, you know, the average producer, doing a show, if they're going to do a good job on a show, for 1 hour a week, they're going to put like at least 10 hours and maybe more of time to do that show. And you think about that over a period of time. And again, I'm not talking about the outcome of it. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, the question of, you know, shows that are there that, you know, don't have any people, but that's where at least my empathy goes out because, you know, I've been and done it myself. I know how much work you put into a show. And then when you have this threat to take the show away or this or that, that drives everybody crazy. And so one of the things I think we have to figure out is that's why I'm always in favor of increasing the amount of digital methods for distributing information and really, you know, bringing in the, you know, hell, I bring in 15 year olds to help us out. We just really need, with the lack of resources we have to figure out ways to be more creative in this situation. Any other comments before we finish this? Okay. All right. So, let me move to the next item there if we're finished with this. Anybody have any new business they'd like to raise? Oh, I should add, for new business, there is a rewriting process going on with the, underwriting motion. So Susan Young did start it. I sent it off to Alex. Alex, you want to comment on that? Cause I think you thought it was pretty good. You had one question about one part of it. I don't want to read the whole underwriting motion off to the stream here, but Alex, did you have a comment about what your feeling of the writing of Susan is of this, motion?
Well, I've gotten some comments since I sent that out. Some people seem to feel that it needs a lot more work. I'm not sure why, unless they think that many of the clauses in the appendix in which we discuss some of the details of how these policies should be carried out, maybe they think that should be taken out of the appendix and put into be it resolved statements. We could do that, but I'm not sure we gain anything by that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I agree with you, Alex. That I feel is unnecessary to do. That wasn't really, that was more attempt.
I don't know why else, this is being criticized. It's too bad Susan's not here so we could hear from her, but, I actually thought her treatment was pretty good. It just, it laid out the, there's a short, very short, whereas clauses, and then there's several be it resolved clauses, and then that's followed by all sorts of details that are laid out in the appendices. I thought that was okay, actually. I didn't think that was a bad approach.
All right. Well, okay, so I just wanted to bring that up because that's in the middle of being done. The other thing with the underwriting is that I certainly think that all the stations in the next 3 months could – at the very least, start to explore the possibility of underwriting, not putting a dollar sign to the amounts that one would expect so we don't have anybody freaking out. But I certainly think that we could start the process of actually.
Well Jim, you know, here's an example where they could learn from WBAI. There must be, government agencies in each of our listening areas that do promotions for public service, announcements that they feel are a benefit to the communities they serve. And we've never researched that. We only began to research it in New York recently, and we found out that, you know, this is a pretty good thing for all involved. So I think the other stations can at least begin by following that lead. The PSAs are in general, they're not even like underwriting as such because we're not, you know, we're not giving credit to anyone. We're simply making a public service announcement. And they're generally non-controversial, except when you get into public health announcements. We have certain people in Pacifica who apparently are opposed to vaccines and public health measures, so they don't like those. But other than that, I think they're fine.
Well, I should add, of course, that some of the stations, if we talk about just simply putting PSAs out about driving cars and car safety.
Exactly.
I mean, my God, Southern California overlaps, that signal of 100,000 watts overlaps 10 or 12 or 14 counties, goes all the way down to San Diego, and north into the San Fernando Valley. So there's all sorts of possibilities that could be exploited just on the issue of car safety alone. And that applies to Houston, Galveston, applies to Northern California, and certainly those who get stuck in the traffic heading into Washington every morning, you know, that insanity from Virginia. So anyway, so there's all these possibilities that can be explored, and hopefully the new board will take a vigorous leadership in trying to get this moving forward. Any other new businesses that people want to raise? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to suggest meeting dates. So scheduling in the next month for a meeting, I know some people get angry when I put on these workshops. The workshops are designed to basically, you know, interact with listener members. So, I mean, I do value their input, and it's important to hear what they have to say. And this is different than the formal meetings. So that's why I was doing that. But is this day, this is the second Monday of the month. Is this good for people at this point in time if we stick to this as a regular day and then I could go ahead and just schedule it for the next 6 months or 7 months? So whoever takes over this committee, or if I stay on it, at least we have that set up in the KPTFX calendar. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah, go on, Julie.
Yeah. Beth, I know you have something that's on, I believe it's the fourth Monday of the month.
I chair the local programming committee at KPFK on the third Monday of the month.
Okay.
And I chair the National Development Task Force on the fourth Monday of the month. And when we schedule things that overlap with those, we lose people.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm not free to come because I have an obligation to share.
I'm just trying to establish what are the Mondays of the month that have competing meetings. I would advocate, Jim, for switching to the first Monday of the month, and here's why I say that. The second Monday of the month, the second week of the month is often like chock full of meetings between the PFW Local Finance Committee, which is earlier this evening, you know, and then I have the National Finance Committee, then I have my LSB meeting on Wednesday, and then I have a PNB meeting on Thursday. So it would just be kind of nice to go for the first Monday if there's not some competing meeting. That's all. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Is that a good solution? Monday? Yeah, go on, Beth.
Could I comment on that?
Yeah, go on.
As a age-old community organizer, what I figured out is that of all the first Mondays of the month in the year, close to half of them, if not more, turn out to be holidays. And so if you schedule it then, I mean, the local ham radio club here does that, and then they move half the meetings to the second Monday anyway, and you can never keep track of, are they going to have a meeting? Are they not going to have a meeting? Or are they just skipping a meeting? So it's kind of like when you're trying to drive out of a wildfire and your map app tells you, well, these roads are empty, there's nobody here. And when you get there, you find out it's because they're on fire. There's a reason that those Mondays aren't as occupied. At least that's been my experience. Thanks.
Well, okay, suppose I look at the schedule and then try to keep in mind what both Julie says and what you say. That is, if I hit a Monday, It is a national holiday. Of course, I won't use that. I'll move it to the next Monday, the second week. Is that a good compromise?
National holiday, yeah, the second Mondays.
To avoid, but to wait, avoid.
Could you repeat that, what the whole thing you just said?
Well, what I would do, Julie, what I would do is I would, you know, look through the next 6 months, and if I see a Monday as a national holiday, I will skip and do it the following week, the second week, of the month.
That's exactly what I'm trying to avoid.
All right, but
meeting targets, and then you overlap with two sets of meetings instead of just one.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Well, why don't I? Yeah, go on, Jim.
Okay, you're right. I'll just completely retract my point that, you know, it's better to not have people have to have meetings four nights in a week. Pile it on.
All right, Jim, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, why don't you just go to the second Monday, unless somebody's already spoken about how that's difficult. I mean, it's not good to be shifting back and forth. If you have a specific time.
You went dead, Jim. All right. Well, all right. Let me go look at it first. I'll go look and see. Okay. I'll report back. I won't make any commitments. Maybe I'll just reserve the Mondays and reserve the Tuesdays, and then we'll figure it out, and then we can eliminate. I'll just go in and figure it out. All right. I understand Beth's comment about having consistency. Go on, Jim. What are you going to say?
Thank you.
All right. I'll just go figure it out. All right. Is there any other new business that people have? Okay. Well, I'm going to move that we adjourn and go into closed session. Is a second to that?
I'll second.
All right, thank you. All right.